heaven. But except you be humbled, you are not capable of the Bible heaven. That heaven described in the Old and New Testaments, is not that heaven a lifting up in due time? But how shall you be lifted up that are never well got down? Where will your tears be to be wiped away? What place will there be for your triumph who will not fight the good fight? How can it be a rest to you who cannot submit to labor? The saints' heaven. Of the saints' heaven, and he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. This answers the question about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the saints with them there. They were brought down to the dust by humbling circumstances, and out of these they came before the throne. How can you ever think to be lifted up with them, with whom you cannot think to be brought down? Christ's heaven. Of Christ's heaven, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. Oh, consider how the forerunner made his way. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Luke 24:26. And lay your account with it, that if you get where he is, you must go thither as he went. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. 10. Give up at length with your towering hopes from this world and confine them to the world to come. Be as pilgrims and strangers here, looking for your rest in heaven and not till you come there. There is a prevailing evil. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidst thou not, there is no hope. Isaiah 57:10. So the Babel building is still continued, though it has fallen down again and again. For men say, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Isaiah 9:10. This makes humbling work very long. We are so hard to quit hold of the creature, to fall off from the breast and be weaned. But fasten on the other world, and let your hold of this go. So shall you be humbled indeed under the mighty hand. The faster you hold the happiness of that world, the easier will it be to accommodate yourselves to your humbling circumstances here. 11. Make use of Christ in all his offices for your humiliation under your humbling circumstances. That only is kindly humiliation that comes in this way. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. Zechariah 12:10. This you must do by trusting on him for that effect. 1. As a priest for you. You have a conscience full of guilt, and that will make one uneasy in any circumstances, and far more in humbling circumstances. It will be like a thorn in the shoulder on which a burden is laid. But the blood of Christ will purge the conscience, draw out the thorn, give ease. Isaiah 33:24, and fit for service, doing or suffering. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 2. As your prophet to teach you. We have need to be taught rightly to discern our humbling circumstances, for often we mistake them so far that they prove an oppressive load, whereas could we rightly see them, just as God sets them to us, they would be humbling, but not so oppressive. Truly, we need Christ and the light of His Word and Spirit to let us see our cross and trial as well as our duty. Psalm 25, 9 and 10. 3. And as your king, you have a stiff heart, loath to bow, even in humbling circumstances. Take a lesson from Moses what to do in such a case. And he said, "Let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin." Exodus 34:9. Put it in His hand that is strong and mighty. Psalm 24:8. He is able to cause it to melt, and like wax, before the fire, turn to the seal. Think on these directions in order to put them in practice, remembering, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Remember, humbling work is a work that will fill your hand while you live here, and that you cannot come to the end of it till death, and humbling circumstances will attend you while you are in this lower world. A change of them you may get, but a freedom from them you cannot till you come to heaven. So the humbling circumstances of our imperfections, relations, contradictions, afflictions, uncertainties, and sinfulness will afford matter of exercise to us while here. What remains of the purpose of this text I shall comprise in a promise of blessing for the afflicted. Doctrine. There is a due time wherein those that now humble themselves under the mighty hand of God will certainly be lifted up. 1. Those who shall share of this lifting up must pay their account, in the first place, with a casting down. Revelation 7:14, John 16:33. In the world ye shall have tribulation. There is no coming to the promised land according to the settled method of grace, but through the wilderness, nor entering into this exaltation, but through a strait gate. If we cannot away with the casting down, we shall not taste the sweet of the lifting up. 2. Being cast down by the mighty hand of God, we must learn to lie still and quiet under it, till the same hand that cast us down raise us up. If we would share of this promised lifting up, Lamentations 3:27. It is not the being cast down into humbling circumstances by the providence of God, but the coming down of our spirits under them by the grace of God that brings us within the compass of this promise. 3. Those who are never humbled in humbling circumstances shall never be lifted up in the way of this promise. Men may keep their spirits on the high bend in their humbling circumstances, and in that case may get a lifting up. Proverbs 16:19. But such a lifting up as will end in a more grievous fall. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Psalm 73:18. But they who will not humble themselves in humbling circumstances will find that their obstinacy will keep their misery ever fast on them without remedy. 4. Humility of spirit in humbling circumstances ascertains a lifting up out of them some time with the good will and favor of heaven. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14. Solomon observes that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1. And so it is, that while the proud through their obstinacy do but wreathe the yoke faster about their own necks, the humble ones, by their yielding, make their relief sure. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. 1 Samuel 2:8-10. So cannon will break down a stone wall, while yielding packs of wool will take away its force. 5. There is an appointed time for the lifting up of those that humble themselves in their humbling circumstances, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Habakkuk 2:3. To everything there is a time, as for humbling, so for lifting up. Ecclesiastes 3:3. We know it not, but God knows it, who has appointed it. Let not the humble one say, I shall never be lifted up. There is a time fixed for it, as precisely as for the rising of the sun after a long and dark night, or the return of the spring after a long and sharp winter. 6. It is not to be expected that immediately upon one's humbling himself, the lifting up is to follow. No, one is not merely to lie down under the mighty hand, but to lie still, waiting the due time. Humbling work is long work. The Israelites had 40 years of it in the wilderness. God's people must be brought to put a blank in his hand as to the time, and while they have a long night of walking in darkness, must trust. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in the darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Isaiah 50:10. 7. The appointed time for the lifting up is the due time, the time fittest for it, wherein it will come most seasonably. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. For that is the time God has chosen for it, and be sure his choice, as the choice of infinite wisdom, is the best. And therefore faith sets to wait it. Isaiah 28:16. He that believeth shall not make haste. Much of the beauty of anything depends on the timing of it, and he has fixed that in all that he does. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. 8. The lifting up of the humble will not fail to come in the appointed and due time. Habakkuk 2:3. Time makes no halting. It is running day and night, so the due time is fast coming, and when it comes, it will bring the lifting up along with it. Let the humbling circumstances be ever so low, ever so hopeless. It is impossible, but the lifting up from them must come in the due time. A word in the general to the lifting up, abiding those that humble themselves. There is a twofold lifting up. A partial lifting up, competent to the humbled in time during this life. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Psalm 30:1. This is a lifting up in part, and but in part, not wholly. and such lifting up the humbled may expect while in this world, but no more. These give a breathing to the weary, a change of burdens, but do not set them at perfect ease. So Israel in the wilderness, in the midst of their many mourning times, had some singing ones. Exodus 15:1, Numbers 21:17. The total lifting up competent to them at the end of time, at death, Luke 16:22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Then the Lord deals with them no more by parcels, but carries their relief to perfection, Hebrews 12:22 and 23. Then he takes off all their burdens, eases them of all their weights, and lays no more on forever. He then lifts them up to a height they were never at before, no, not even at their highest. He sets them quite above all that is low, and therein fixes them, never to be brought down more. Now there is a due time for both these. For the partial lifting up, every time is not fit for it. We are not always fit to receive comfort and ease or a change of our burdens. God sees there are times wherein it is needful for His people to be in heaviness. 1 Peter 1:6. To have their hearts brought down with grief. Psalm 107:12. But then there is a time really appointed for it in the divine wisdom, when He will think it as needful to comfort them as before to bring down. So that contrarywise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. 2 Corinthians 2:7. We are in that case in the hand of God, as in the hand of our physician, who appoints the time the drawing plaster shall continue, and when the healing plaster shall be applied, and leaves it not to the patient. For the total lifting up, when we are sore oppressed with our burdens, we are ready to think, oh, to be away and set beyond them all. As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. Job 7:2-3. But it may be fitter, for all that we stay a while and struggle with our burdens. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Philippians 1:24-25. A few days might have taken Israel out of Egypt into Canaan, but they would have been too soon there if they had made all that speed. So they chose to spend 40 years in the wilderness till their due time of entering Canaan should come. And be sure, the saints entering heaven will be convinced that the time of it is best chosen, and there will be a beauty in that it was no sooner, and thus a lifting up is secured for the humble. Chapter 6. God uplifts His people in affliction. If one should assure you, when reduced to poverty, that the time would certainly come yet that you should be rich, when sore sick, that you should not die of that disease, but certainly recover, that would help you to bear your poverty and sickness the better, and you would comfort yourselves with that prospect. However, one may continue poor and never be rich, may be sick and die of his disease, but whoever humble themselves under their humbling circumstances, we can assure them from the Lord's word, they shall certainly, without all peradventure, be lifted up out of and relieved from their humbling circumstances. They shall certainly see the day of their ease and relief, when they shall remember their burdens as waters that fail, and you may be assured thereof from the following considerations. 1. The nature of God, duly considered, ensures it. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Psalm 103:8-9. The humbled soul looking to God in Christ may see three things in his nature jointly securing it. Infinite power that can do all things. No circumstances are so low, but he can raise them. So entangling and perplexing, but he can unravel them. So hopeless, but he can remedy them. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis 18:14. Be our case what it will, it is never past reaching him to help it. But then, it is the most proper season for him to take it in hand when all others have given it over. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. Deuteronomy 32:36. 2. Infinite goodness inclining to help. He is good and gracious in his nature, Exodus 34:6-7. And therefore, his power is a spring of comfort to them, Romans 14:4. Men may be willing that they are not able, or able that they are not willing, but infinite goodness, joining infinite power in God, may ascertain the humbled of a lifting up in due time. That is a word of inconceivable sweetness, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. 1 John 4:16. He has the bowels of a father towards the humble. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Psalm 103:13. Yea, bowels of mercy more tender than a mother to her sucking child. Isaiah 49:15. Wherefore, howbeit his wisdom may see it necessary to put them in humbling circumstances and keep them there for a time, it is not possible he can leave them therein altogether. Infinite wisdom that does nothing in vain and therefore will not needlessly keep one in humbling circumstances. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Lamentations 3:32-33. God sends afflictions for humbling as the end and design to be brought about by them. When what is obtained and there is no more use for them that way, we may assure ourselves they will be taken off. The providence of God viewed in its stated methods of procedure with its objects ensures it. Turn your eyes which way you will on the divine providence, you may conclude thence that in due time the humble will be lifted up. Observe the providence of God in the revolutions of the whole course of nature, day succeeding to the longest night, a summer to the winter, a waxing to a waning of the moon, a flowing to an ebbing of the sea, etc. Let not the Lord's humbled ones be idle spectators of these things. They are for our learning. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Jeremiah 31:35-37. Will the Lord's hand keep such a steady course in the earth, sea, and visible heavens, as to bring a lifting up in them after a casting down, and only forget his humbled ones? No, by no means. Observe the providence of God in the dispensations thereof, about the man Christ, the most noble and august object thereof, more valuable than a thousand worlds. Colossians 2:9. Did not providence keep this course with him, first humbling him, then exalting him, and lifting him up, first bringing him to the dust of death, in a course of sufferings 33 years, then exalting him to the Father's right hand in an eternity of glory? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:12. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Philippians 2:8-9. The exaltation could not fail to follow his humiliation. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Luke 24:26. And he saw and believed it would follow, as the springing of the seed does the sowing it. John 12:24. There is a near concern the humbled in humbling circumstances have herein. This is the pattern Providence copies after in its conduct towards you. The Father was so well pleased with this method in the case of his own Son that it was determined to be followed and just copied over again in the case of all the heirs of glory. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And who would not be pleased to walk through the darkest valley, treading his steps? This is a sure pledge of your lifting up. Christ, in his state of humiliation, was considered as a public person and representative, and so is he in his exaltation. So Christ's exaltation ensures your exaltation out of your humbling circumstances. By dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Isaiah 26:19. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hosea 6:1-2. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. Yea, he is gone into the state of glory for us as our forerunner. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever. Hebrews 6:20. His humiliation was the price of your exaltation, and his exaltation a testimony of the acceptance of its payment to the full. There are no humbling circumstances ye are in, but ye would have perished in them, had not he purchased your lifting up out of them by his own humiliation. Isaiah 26:19. Now his humbling grace in you is an evidence of the acceptance of his humiliation for your lifting up. Observe the providence of God towards the church in all ages. This has been the course the Lord has kept with her. Psalm 129:1-4. Abel was slain by wicked Cain, to the great grief of Adam and Eve and the rest of their pious children. But then there was another seed raised up in Abel's room, Genesis 4:25. Noah and his sons were buried alive in the ark for more than a year, but then they were brought out into a new world and blessed. Abraham for many years went childless, but at length Isaac was born. Israel was long in miserable bondage in Egypt, but at length seated in the promised land, etc. We must be content to go by the footsteps of the flock, and if in humiliation, we shall surely follow them in exaltation too. Observe the providence of God in the dispensations of his grace towards his children. The general rule is, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. How are they brought into a state of grace? Is it not by a sound work of humiliation going before? Luke 6:48. And ordinarily, the greater the measure of grace designed for any, the deeper is their humiliation before, as in Paul's case. If they are to be recovered out of a backsliding case, the same method is followed, so that the deepest humiliation ordinarily makes way for the greatest comfort, and the darkest hour goes before the rising of the sun of righteousness upon them. Isaiah 66:5-13. Observe the providence of God at length throwing down wicked men, however long they stand and prosper. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Psalm 37:35-36. They are long green before the sun, but at length they are suddenly smitten with an east wind and wither away. Their lamp goes out with a stench, and they are put out in obscure darkness. Now it is inconsistent with the benignity of the divine nature to forget the humble to raise them, while he minds the proud to abase them. The word of God puts it beyond all peradventure, which, from the beginning to the end, is the humbled saint's security for a lifting up. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Psalm 119:49-50. His word is the great letter of his name, which he will certainly cause to shine. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Psalm 138:2. And in all generations hast been safely relied on. Psalm 12:6. Consider, 1. The doctrines of the word, which teach faith and hope for the time, and the happy issue which the exercise of these graces will have. The whole current of Scripture to those in humbling circumstances is not to cast away their confidence, but to hope to the end, and that for this good reason, that it shall not be in vain. See Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And compare Romans 9:33, Isaiah 49:23. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. 2. The promises of the Word, whereby heaven is expressly engaged for a lifting up to those that humble themselves in humbling circumstances. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4:10. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Matthew 23:12. It may take a time to prepare them for lifting up, but that being done, it is secured. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Psalm 10:17. They have his word for deliverance. Psalm 50:15. And though they may seem to be forgotten, they shall not be always so. The time of their deliverance will come. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Psalm 9:18. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Psalm 102:17. 3. The examples of the Word sufficiently confirming the truth of the doctrines and promises. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15:4. In the doctrines and promises, the lifting up is proposed to our faith, to be reckoned on the credit of God's Word. But in the examples, it is, in the case of others, set before our eyes to be seen. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. James 5:11. There we see it in the case of Abraham, Job, David, Paul, and other saints, but above all, in the case of the man, Christ. 4. The intercession of Christ, joining the prayers and cries of his humbled people in their humbling circumstances, ensures a lifting up for them at length. Be it so, that the proud cry not when he binds them, yet his own humbled ones will certainly cry unto him. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Psalm 42:7-8. And though unbelievers may soon be outwearied and give it over altogether, surely believers will not do so. But though they may, in a fit of temptation, lay it by as hopeless, they will find themselves obliged to take it up again. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah 20:9. They will cry night and day unto him, Luke 18:7, knowing no time for giving it over till they be lifted up. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not, and behold from heaven. Lamentations 3:49-50. Now Christ's intercession being joined with these cries, there cannot fail to be a lifting up. Christ's intercession is certainly joined with the cries and prayers of the humbled in their humbling circumstances. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Revelation 8:3. They are by the Spirit helped to groan for relief. Romans 8:26. And the prayers and groans which are through the Spirit are certainly to be made effectual by the intercession of the Son. James 5:16. And ye may know they are by the Spirit, if so be ye are helped to continue praying, hoping for your suit at last on the grounds of God's word of promise. For nature's praying is a pool that will dry up in a long drought. The Spirit of prayer is the lasting spring. John 4:14, Psalm 138:3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Truly there is an intercession in heaven on account of the humbling circumstances of the humble ones. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? Zechariah 1:12. How then can they miss of a lifting up in due time? Christ is in deep earnest in his intercession for his people in their humbling circumstances. Some will speak a good word in favor of the helpless that will be little concerned whether they speed or not. But our intercessor is in earnest in behalf of his humbled ones, for he is touched with sympathy in their case. In all their afflictions he was afflicted. Isaiah 63:9. A most tender sympathy, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Zechariah 2:8. He has their case upon his heart, where he is in the holy place in the highest heavens. Exodus 28:29. And he keeps an exact account of the time of their humbling circumstances, be it as long as it will. Zechariah 1:12. Moreover, it is his own business. The lifting up which they are to have is a thing that is secured to him in the promises made to him on the account of his blood shed for them. So not only are they looking on earth, but the man Christ is in heaven looking for the accomplishment of these promises. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Hebrews 10:12-13. How is it possible then that he should be balked? Moreover, these humbling circumstances are his own sufferings still, though not in his person, yet in his members, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Colossians 1:24. Wherefore there is all ground to conclude he is in deep earnest. Again, his intercession is always effectual, and I knew that thou hearest me always. John 11:42. It cannot miss to be so, because he is the Father's well-beloved Son. His intercession has a plea of justice for the ground of it. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:1. Moreover, he has all power in heaven and earth lodged in him. Matthew 28:18. And finally, he and his Father are one, and there will be one. So both Christ and his Father will do the lifting up of the humble ones, but yet only in the due time. I now proceed to a more particular view of the point, and we will consider the lifting off as brought about in time, which is the partial lifting off. This lifting off does not take place in every case of a child of God. One may be humbled in humbling circumstances from which he is not to get a lifting up in time. He would not from the promise presently conclude that we being humbled under our humbling circumstances shall certainly be taken out of them and freed from them ere we get to the end of our journey. For it is certain there are some, such as our imperfections and sinfulness and mortality, we can by no means be rid of while in this world. And there are particular humbling circumstances the Lord may bring about one and keep about him till he goes down to the grave, while in the meantime he may lift up another from the same. Heman was pressed down all along from his youth, Psalm 88:15, others all their lifetime, Hebrews 2:15. Objection. If that be the case, what comes of the promise of lifting up? Where is the lifting up if one may go to the grave under the weight? Answer. Were there no life after this, there would be ground for that objection. But since there is another life, there is none in it at all. In the other life, the promise will be accomplished to the humbled as it was. Luke 16:22.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart, from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, I have not commanded them whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important when he says that God had commanded no such thing and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.